Welcome to Truth Talk for Conscious Entrepreneurs. This is your host, Emma Churchman. Welcome to a limited series I've created titled Cleared for Profit, Heal Your Trauma to Grow Your Business, where I interview experts on how trauma informs your business.
Delighted to have for this episode Jeffrey Van Dyke, who is a business coach who has some really interesting things to say about what he refers to as wounds in business. So this podcast series is about how trauma and how trauma informs your business, but we're going to take a little bit of a different approach here and really focus more on wounds. So Jeffrey, welcome.
Thank you so much, Emma. It's a delight to be here.
Cool. So let's begin here. What do you see as the difference between wounds and trauma?
Yeah. One of my first mentors is this guy, Tim Kelly, who's well-known in the life purpose space. And he always taught me to never teach about something without being able to define it. So I want to start with a few definitions, and these are my own definitions. I define trauma as anything you cannot process in real time, right? So when something's overwhelming and painful, that's trauma. But I define a wound, and a lot of my work is around what I call core wounds. At the kernel of the wound is a belief. And it's what I call an identity-based belief, meaning I am this thing, an identity-based belief that we adopt for survival purposes that at a soul level is fundamentally untrue. So things like I'm stupid, I'm unlovable, I'm a worthless piece of crap, I'm an outcast, I'm a failure, fill in the blank with your favorite pick. And that, to me, is where the wound lies. And in my experience, you can have trauma that doesn't lead to a wound, and you can develop wounds without necessarily having, quote-unquote, trauma, under my definition. So, for example, when I was 5 years old, my mom and I were sitting on the front stoop of our house, and we saw our dog, Jenny, get run over by a car, and she died. So that was traumatic, right? It's I can't process in real time, and it's painful. I remember just crying on my mom's shoulders. But I don't think that I made up a belief about myself as it related to that trauma. Now, had, for example, watching Jenny, had that been my job and I somehow accidentally let her out and that led to her death, I could very easily see making up beliefs about myself about, I'm untrustworthy or I'm a killer or, some way to make sense of that world, which is what we do with wounds, right? The beliefs we create are to make sense of a reality that doesn't make sense, right? So if you live in a household where your dad beats you, for example, you have to make sense out of that. You can't blame the hand that feeds you because that, from a survival instinct perspective, isn't really wise. So instead, we blame ourselves. Oh, this is happening because I'm fill in the blank. And that's what I call a wound.
Yeah, and I love that articulation that it's how we make sense of our world, because you're right. A lot of times things that are seemingly illogical or irrational or that go against what we're taught to believe is right in the world can have a tremendous effect on us. And the only way we can justify those or rationalize those is by making up a story that somehow makes them okay.
Yeah. That's one way we do it. We also do it just to submerge certain parts of our innate person that isn't accepted in our environment. So, for example, I had a client whose belief is about being stupid, right? So the stupid wound. Now, she's one of the like most quick-witted, smart person, you know, people I've ever met. She's just so fast, right? And nothing gets by this gal. So, you know, but she grew up with a father that was really threatened by her smarts and would, you know, just call her, you're just a stupid piece of shit. You're just a stupid little girl. You don't know anything. Now, had she stood up for herself and said, no, I'm actually really brilliant and you're the one that's kind of dumb, she would have gotten smacked or hurt or potentially killed, right? So for survival purposes, she adopted the belief, I'm stupid, to put her intelligence away as a safety mechanism. Make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a beautiful transition because I'd love to talk about how wounds affect entrepreneurs in business. So I'm curious about how that belief affected her in her business or other examples you might have.
Yeah. So before I go there, let me start by saying this. I love our wounds. I'm enamored with the elegance of our wounds. It's in response to our wounding that we develop so many of our gifts and skills and abilities. And oftentimes I see in business, especially those of us that are into personal growth, we start and we go, ooh, I don't like this about myself, or ooh, that thing gets in my way. I need to fix it. I need to get rid of it. And in my philosophy, there are no problems to be solved. There's just more truth to be revealed. And as we move towards the wound instead of away from it, that's where the gold lives. So I call the pattern of your wounding, I call it your life's PhD. And I believe that we bond with others based on a shared pattern. So for example, belonging is a big pattern for me. You know, it's something I've traveled to and fro in life. And you better believe that my best clients have a wound around belonging, right? I serve a tribe of outcasts, and I believe that the holy role of the outcast is to be a way shower, that we spend our life outside of a system and able to see the system in a new way and point a new direction for our people, for humanity, what have you. So that's, first of all, I want to start by saying I love the wound. And I could talk a lot more about that. But as it relates to how I see wounds in business, there's a great benefit, and we can go into that more in a bit. But I will talk about the place where we usually first notice the wound or encounter the wound, which is something that isn't working. So for this gal that had the stupid wound, she was in a program that I led, and she, I forget how, but she got a bonus half hour with me, right? And in this call, she said, yeah, I drove all the way across town, went to this networking event, got out of my car, walked up to the door, put my hand on the handle, and couldn't walk through the door. I was so filled with anxiety. And I don't know why. I got back in my car and drove all the way back home, right? A 35-minute drive back across town, never went to the meeting. And I kind of chuckled. And she's like, what are you laughing about? And I said, well, it's kind of silly. I was like, you know, we can easily address that. That's not a difficult one. So we started working together, and, you know, pretty soon I do this, wound intake, what I call a life PhD call with every single one of the clients that comes through the doors of my company. And, in that intake, we discover what the wound belief is. And that's where we discovered the stupid wound, right? I'm stupid. And, of course, if that's sitting under the hood, and you try to go to a networking event, of course you're going to be filled with anxiety because your stupidness is going to potentially be exposed, so says the wound, right? Oh, no, they're going to see that I'm stupid. Can't be. So we do either one of two things. We either attack it or we retreat from it. And that's always what we do in response to the wound. We either inflate against it or we deflate around it. So the inflation is, I am going to prove that this thing is untrue. So, you know, when I work with like type A executives, founders of companies, super driven people, invariably they have a failure wound. And it's so funny, we get to it and they're like, that can't possibly be true. Look at all I've done. Right? And I'm like, mm-hmm. And what might drive you to do all those things, you know, and it starts to dawn on them and their life starts to crumble a little bit. Wounds congregate in industries. So when I work with people in the financial services industry, oftentimes they have a worthlessness wound and unconsciously move into the world to create value. The stupid wound, I had another gal who had a stupid wound at an event I spoke at not long ago. She had 3 PhDs, right? And was working on her 4th, right? So I'm going to prove that I'm not stupid, darn it. So that's the inflation. And then, and usually around the inflation, we're a little unconscious, right? We aren't super aware that we're doing it. And that's actually part of your life's training program. That's the higher purpose of the wound, I believe, is to push against it and build skills in the process. So,
right.
You know, and that's part of that, the holiness of the wound, in my opinion.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that, that it's almost like us having a 360-degree relationship with the wound, you know, the negatives and the positives, like everything, all of the ways the wound has affected us and all of the ways that the wound has prepared us for exactly who we are to be in the world. Does that make sense?
Precisely. Yeah, that's why I call it a life PhD, right? You know the ups and downs, the ins and outs of that sucker. I like to talk about, you know, if someone were to hire you or looking for a professional to help them with something, wouldn't they want somebody that knows the ins and outs of the journey they're in? You know, if you're going to hire a Sherpa and you're going to go to the Himalayas, don't you want like the third generation person who grew up in those mountains?
Right.
You know, rather than somebody who's like, I've been up there once, I'll take you. Or like, I'm a Sherpa in a different mountain range, but heck, they're all kind of the same, right? It's like, no, you want that person that really understands what's going on for your journey, oftentimes more deeply than you understand it yourself.
Exactly.
So that's the inflation. The deflation is where we adopt the belief to be true. Right? We face plant into the belief. I'm a worthless piece of shit. I'm an unlovable outcast. See, it proves I'm unlovable. See, that proves that I'm not wanted here, whatever it is. And we vacillate. We all vacillate between inflation and deflation. I find that some people tend to do more of one than the other. And when you inflate more, you tend to build more skills out there in the world. And when you tend to deflate more, you tend to build more internal skills, psychic abilities, energetic healing, being very intuitive, and being able to read people, right? Those are all internal abilities is what I'd call them. So so that's the wound. There she is.
Interesting. So a couple of questions. First, just out of curiosity, because I'm a coach and I coach a lot of coaches, what do you see as some of the industry standard around for coaches with wounds?
What do you mean by industry standard?
So you said you were referring to the financial industry and kind of the patterns of wounding you see with those folks.
Yeah. So one of the things I see for a lot of coach types is a big wound around being unseen and unheard, a visibility wound. And there's so much Sturm und Drang, right? So much struggle to be seen and known in the world. And a lot, you know, this deep craving to be seen and known, a fear about being seen and known underneath it, and a lot of struggle when it comes to marketing, messaging, sales, social media, to get people to follow you, right? It's so crowded in the market, and there's so many people with so many messages, which is all true, right? I mean, hell, we've democratized broadcast media just in the last few years. You know, if this was 50 years ago or even 20 years ago, you know, 50 years ago, all you had were basically four channels on TV. That's broadcasting. 20 years ago, you had cable plus those channels. 10 years ago, maybe, I don't know when YouTube started, you could start uploading to YouTube, but it's just been since 2016 that Facebook Live started, and we start being able to pull our phone out at the drop of a hat anywhere, anytime, and broadcast. So there are more broadcast channels with more people broadcasting than ever in the history of humanity, right? So that's that's the difficult thing when it comes to getting your message out. On the other side, there is more opportunity. Like, we have just broken down the barriers more and more and more and more and more to delivering our gifts in the world, such that anyone can do it, right? You can build a tribe with the thing that sits in your pocket or your purse. You can build a tribe with that thing, right? Just turn it on and start speaking to the heart and the minds and the spirits of the people you're on earth to serve. You know, we talked a little bit before we started the interview about this concept of seeing your business as a ministry. And, you know, more and more and more, I just go, yeah, great. There's a lot of people that might benefit from you, but who needs you? Who needs to be ministered to by you and through your business? That can only be touched in the way that you can touch them, you know? And that's a question, I think, when it comes to this visibility wound and, oh my gosh, I need to make money and I need to pay rent or I need to do this and I need people to opt in or I need them to buy and I need them to click and why aren't they doing it and I need more. You know, we get into the scarcity around the visibility that we just lose ourselves so easily. And lose the connection to why we're doing what we're doing, and in particular, who we're meant to be doing it for and with.
Yeah, beautiful. And you know, what occurred to me, Jeffrey, as you were speaking, is that social media in particular has in fact created a platform in which who you be in the world matters. Your unique voice matters. Your desires. How
more than ever before.
Show up, what, more than ever before, which is phenomenal because so much of what I find is that people don't actually know who they are. They don't know how to articulate who they are. They don't know how to be themselves. And that has a huge impact on their capacity to be visible in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. I talk about living from either a wound-driven operating system or a purpose-driven operating system. And this is my, I used to work at Microsoft, so this is my like old tech background geekiness. But, you know, it's like, are you a PC or are you a Mac? And in a wound-driven operating system, we're always doing one of two things in response to the wound. We're trying to hide it and ignore it, brush it under the rug from ourselves and others. And we're trying to prove that it's not true. And what I see a lot of us are doing unconsciously is out there trying to, if I work hard enough, if I do enough of this, if I have enough likes, if I, whatever it is, if I do enough, if I have enough, then by golly, it will prove that I'm not this thing that some part of me says that I am. That's the wound-driven operating system. It's fueled by reactivity. I'm reacting to this thing inside of me, trying to prove it to be untrue.
Right.
And so long as we're doing that, that is our number one purpose. Any other thing we call our purpose is secondary. That's our number one job.
Yeah, and it's interesting to me how that, I love that language of wound-driven operating system, how that affects people financially in business. Because what I'll see is entrepreneurs who get to six figures or get to multiple six figures, when they're still carrying that proving energy, they're not actually able to hold on to that money.
Because they don't feel like
they have the value.
I definitely have colleagues, two prominent businesses in the industry this past year that both had massive changes. One closed, one was acquired and they sold, and these were both, you know, $4 or $5 million a year businesses. So the founders were crumbling behind the scenes. So that's the successful version of it. The unsuccessful version is crumbling, not having any money.
Right.
So anybody that's ever followed Abraham, Abraham would always talk about, like, friends, that's the upstream version of success. Come on now.
Nice.
Go ahead. Well, so here's the thing I'm most interested in. I'm most interested in helping people move into a purpose-driven operating system. And to do so, there is a death that one must go through, right? In the hero's journey, you leave on your quest, you get challenged. Kind of halfway through the journey, there's always a death. And that is the death of a part of your personality. It's the death of an identity. And it really is the death of the wounded identity having such a strong hold on you. And funny enough, my experience is that we actually have to be willing to embrace the wound in order to neutralize the reactivity and have that death. So, right, with the person that had the I'm stupid belief, it was actually having her not react to it anymore and actually move into the part of her that held this stupid wound, that I'm stupid, and all the sorrow and the aloneness and the grief associated with it and attached to it. And as we supported her and really moving into the wound, not away from it, funny enough, within a frankly relatively short period of time, given that she'd been living with this belief for decades, this is a baby boomer, right? So she'd been living with it for decades and decades. Within a short period of time, it just stopped being an issue, right? She called me up. She's like, I went to that networking. We know that one that we talked about. I went to it. And I had some people saying, something's different about you. And the founder of the group asked me if I'd be the speaker the next month, right? And she called me up a few weeks after that. And she said, hey, I went to my daughter's house, and she goes, I know this is going to sound like nothing to you, but believe me, this is huge. She goes, I didn't know how to do something on my iPhone, and I asked my daughter for help. Because I would have never done that before, because she would say, Mom, you're so stupid. And she did say, Mom, you're so stupid, but it just didn't matter. You know, that's when you have freedom. That's when you have freedom. And you know, we're talking business here. She had made $20,000 in the first 6 months of that year. She hired me with savings, not income. And by the end of that year, she had made $120,000. So that's $100K in the following 6 months. And she was like, I don't know. She didn't hustle for it, right? She was kind of mystified. She's like, how did that happen? She goes, I was just out having fun. You know, but like everywhere she went, people kept noticing, like, here's what I talk a lot about being the living embodiment of your brand's promise. It's where people see, you know me, you've been me on some level, but you're somehow different than me now. And you seem freer and more open and more available. And I want some of that. Right? That's the best marketing message in the entire world when you're the living embodiment of the brand's promise. You're a walking billboard for your work. And then when you add strategy on top of that and broadcasting, now you can create a movement, right? That's a ministry waiting to happen.
Gorgeous. Yeah, and I love that you lifted up the importance of leaning into the wound, because so often what I see with entrepreneurs is they will eventually recognize they have the wound, but they think that if they just kind of put it aside or ignore it, it will go away. But in fact, what happens is energetically, they're still communicating the wound. So if they have a visibility wound, every time they interact with their audience or their prospective audience, it's like they have a hand up in front of their face blocking them energetically, and they're not going to get the results that they desire.
Right. Right. Or the I'm unlovable one, and you're trying to date, right? Please date me. Stay away. Please date me. Stay away. Yeah. All right. And one of the things I always say is no, because we have free will, no one can overpower the belief you hold about yourself, right? So please see me. I want to be visible is the stated message, and the activity you might be doing by doing your social media posts every day and doing all the things everybody tells you should be doing. But underneath, if the energy you're putting out is stay the hell away, don't look at me, I'm hiding something and I don't want you to know what it is, well, then they're going to agree with you. They're going to stay away.
Right.
Right.
And that's why having the perfect marketing strategy and even having the perfect product or service, it's not going to work if your energy is still driven by your wounds. So is there anything else you want to say around the relationship of wounds to marketing?
Yes. I mean, this is what I've built my whole career on. So the work I do is called tribal marketing, and it's really about finding your tribe. So I'm going to just share very briefly what that looks like, because it's a very different way in to finding your niche, right? And to creating messaging that lands deeply and profoundly with your tribe, creates this really visceral connection with you and your tribe. So in tribal marketing, what we do is we say, okay, if you have a life PhD in something, and we all have a life PhD in something, doesn't it make sense that we'd serve from the PhD rather than throwing that in the trash and serving from something else? Yeah, right? So, okay, so the first thing we do is we find out what the wound pattern is that you share in common with your tribe. Now, no one out there is aware of their patterning. That's how it works, right? It stays in the unconscious. So it's not like anybody's like, I need the, you know, worthlessness coach. I need the failure coach, right? People aren't saying that. So we can't market to it. So instead we have to go, how are those patterns showing up as symptoms in their lives, in health, wealth, or relationship, the three main buckets we serve people, in a way that passes these three check marks. One, it's causing them, one, they're aware of it. Two, it's causing them pain. Three, they're potentially willing to spend money to solve it. And if we cannot identify a particular thing that they're pointing at and going, hey, this thing is up for me, I need help with this, the chances that your marketing is ever going to work are slim to none. And I find that when people come to me they've done this dance. They start out trying to answer their calling, right? And they step out into the world and like, here's what I do, right? And they're like, ah, this is my thing. I finally found it. I remember when I first started as a coach, right? And I'd quit Microsoft. I had no idea how it was going to work, but I was going to do it. And, you know, and I hung out my shingle and I'm a coach. And then no one comes. Instead, they say things like, oh, that's great that you've done that. Congratulations. Wow, that's really bold. Good for you. And I'm like, no, I really want customers, please, not congratulations. And so then you find that just trying to speak about your soul's calling, right, isn't doing the trick. And so then you hire business professionals, marketing professionals, and most of them try to find a market out there, some box, some market out there to slot you into. And so they put you into these little boxes of niches and say, oh, you're in this niche, you're in that niche, you're in this other one. When I started, they were like, you know, what have you done? What do you have degrees in? And I'm like, I have degrees in music. I worked in technology. They're like, great, you can work with musicians or technology people. And I'm like, are you kidding me? No, right? Musicians, no money. Technology people, I left for a reason. That's not why I'm doing this thing. And so I was really lost. And so, you know, so we try that, and that doesn't work for us because it doesn't feel true. And my tribe, we are truth seekers, right? So it doesn't feel true. And so we can't invest our heart and soul into it and rock it out. We don't really believe it. So then when we ditch it, and we go back to soul-based marketing, and again, it doesn't work. And so we bounce back and forth. And none of it seems to land. We end up with these 12 abandoned niches in our backyard that looks like gophers have been back there. and instead, what I do is say, no, we have to map a market onto you. What's your life PhD? I look at what your PhD is, what this wound pattern that you share in common with your tribe is. Then we look at what skills and abilities and experiences you've had. We look at your life's calling. And we look at the market's need. And where those four things together come together, that's the one square inch in the market that is yours and yours alone to own. I call it the one square inch you can drill a mile deep in the market. And you will never have to abandon because you've seen the direct connection to all your life's experience and where you're sitting in the market. It's no longer made up. We haven't mapped you onto a market. We've mapped a market onto you. And so often, and you know, the people I work with, they're not newbies, right? They've been around, but they just never totally landed. And what I love most about this work is seeing people land in, yes, this is my work. This is who I am. This is my audience. This is the place for me to sit in this market. So they can stop the struggle with all that and just get about the business of serving.
Amazing. Yeah, I love that paradigm shift of mapping your market to you.
Yeah.
So in order to do that, how do you begin? How do you work through some of those long-standing wounds that we've been carrying for decades?
Well, so the foundation of my work are five basic questions. What happened? How did you feel? What did you crave? How did you compensate? And what did you believe? So what happened? That's the raw material. And when we start this PhD session with somebody, we always start there. So tell me about, you know, a number of wounding experiences in your life. Whether that is a traumatic experience, like having somebody die suddenly, or whether it's a long-standing experience, like having a super critical mother. And we look at a number of experiences from childhood and a few from adulthood, because we want to be sure that the pattern repeats and tells us we found it correctly. So that's the first thing we do. What happened? Then we ask these other questions. How did you feel and what did you crave? That's the pain, the ouch, the the wound kind of feelings, right? And the craving, what you longed for instead. And interestingly enough, our emotions aren't attached to our wound, our experiences. They're attached to our wound pattern. So if you think about it, if you have a visibility wound, every time you feel unseen, there's a certain predictable set of a cascade of emotions that wash over you, right? Or belonging or worthlessness or whatever it is. Similarly, the cravings. So those are that's the emotional landscape you have a PhD in that you can bond with your tribe around. So what I train my clients to do is we find the words that repeat and we actually use those strategically in copy. And it has your audience feel this deep visceral connection, like, oh my God, you know me, because the truth is that you do, right? Even though the circumstances around that knowledge are vastly different, energetically, you do. Then how did you compensate? That tells us what you did in response to the wound to try to get away from the pain and towards the cravings that built the skills that set you apart in the marketplace. And that really helps you find, oh, what's my unique value proposition that I hadn't seen before? Right? I had a guy who grew up in the foster care system that does outsource sales. And he was in a training I led, and he's like, I don't see how this connects. And I said, all right, how'd you get by? Around the foster care system. And basically he said, yeah, school after school, he moved around a lot. He had to make friends quickly. I said, oh, you built the skill of building rapport with anyone, anywhere. Helpful in sales. Of course, he smiles, right? At the foster care homes, what'd you do? Because I had to figure out, the rules, and not just the written ones, but the unwritten ones. And he partners with organizations, and he provides outsourced sales. So I said, oh, so you know how to adopt both the written and unwritten value systems of the organizations you partner with, become a seamless extension of them, and close sales, right? And he was like, uh-huh. Right? So that's pulling out the unique skill set born of your wounds. And then finally, what did you believe? And that's where I say, okay, this experience, this happened to me because I'm what? And we start filling in the blank with these beliefs sitting latently in our subconscious. And through a process, we identify, oh, this is really what my belief, my personal belief is, and the pattern I share in common with my tribe is. So to me, those five questions are where I begin with everybody. And for anybody listening, I would say, just start here, right? Write down five or six wounding experiences, whether they're acute trauma or chronic wounding, and ask yourself, what beliefs did I make up about myself? This happened to me because I'm what? And see if there's a recurring pattern. Is it because I'm worthless? Is it because I'm unlovable or unwanted? Or is it because I have no place in this world? What is it? And see if you can string that together to find, oh, my wound sits in this general area. And once you understand the wound pattern, here's what's interesting, Emma. Like, I don't care what you do for the rest of your life. Those are the people you will know best. So, you know, whether you're a painter, and you're connecting with people who want to buy your paintings, or whether you're a life coach or whether you're a senior executive, that pattern is a pattern that you have a PhD in. You'll always serve from it. So that's where I'd begin in terms of finding the giftedness. And in terms of the healing, I'm a big fan of the idea of redemptive love, right, of grace. And one of the reasons I love to do the work that I do, I teach my clients about this combination of what I call a transactional promise and a transformational benefit that rides along with it. The transactional promise is the specific, tangible, business-oriented thing that people are buying from you. And the transformational benefit is how they're changed as they receive your work. And where those two come together, that again is that one square inch you drill a mile deep, if you think about those as a T. So for me, transactionally, I help people find their tribe and really stop the incessant conversation around niche, right? Just like finally land and own it and learn how to talk to and build messaging to your tribe that builds a really strong bond that helps create more purchases and more transformation. But from a transformational standpoint, when people see the application of the benefit of their wound, meaning like, yeah, I get the idea that it was part of the training program for my life's work. Like generically, I get that. It can be helpful. But when somebody actually sees like, oh my God, for the first time, I have a clearer understanding of my audience than I ever have. Oh my God, I have such skill, like to serve these people. Wow, I could do that all day long, right? Suddenly, we've exalted the gift of the wound, right? Suddenly we see the application of the benefit of the wound. And that has a way of redeeming the wound that I just don't see in other ways, right? Of like, oh, wow, not just conceptually it had benefit, like, but in my actual experience, I see it with my own eyes and my wound is actually helping me solve this challenge that I've had so long in my business. That has a really profound effect on people of helping them really see this didn't happen to me, it happened for me. And at a deeper level, you know, grace to me is the energy of redemptive love. And grace to me is this thing that asks nothing of us. It says there's no amount of work you can do, right? No amount of hustle. And there's no lack of work that you haven't done that would prevent this redemptive love from being available to you, right? All it asks for is an invitation. So welcome me in. And, you know, to me, that's, you know, Einstein said you can't solve the problem from the same consciousness that created it. And when we're busy trying to fix our wounds, we're actually in the consciousness of our wounds fighting against ourselves. And the place that I think grace can play, and this is where faith, I think, can come in, is grace says, you don't have to prove anything. Yeah. Come as you are. Just welcome this redemptive love in to touch that which you cannot touch, to touch the thing you're still struggling against, because grace has no beef with it. So,
and that's the path to healing. That's the path to wholeness. And along that ride of your business as a platform for your own spiritual growth and evolution happens to come alongside it, mastering lead generation, creating more financial abundance for yourself. But where you have to begin, what I'm hearing you say, is where you have to begin with is your wounds.
And I don't know, to be on this journey, yes, you have to begin it. And I would also say, I think, like in my company, we have a very clear definition of who our audience is and who we have offerings for. And one of the things we're clear about is if someone hasn't done enough of the struggle, they're not ready for what we have to offer. You know, like, we do not serve people that are brand spanking new to trying to start this kind of business. You know, and even the concept of a niche is like a new one. They're like, oh, maybe it's women, right? And that's what they think is a niche. We don't work with those people because they, you have to have enough pain to be incentivized to look at your wound, right? Because the wound, like I said, it's the thing that we do two things around. We try to ignore it, bury it, and we try to prove it to be untrue. So we have to be willing to get off from that hamster wheel in order to do this kind of work. And there is a time where it's just not time yet. You need a little more time on the hamster wheel. I'll tell you a little quick story. I always said to myself, I want to be the best in the world at what I do. I never questioned that. I never asked myself, well, where did that desire come from? It just was the lens through which I saw the world. I want to be the best in the world at what I do. And about 2010, I was leading an event series with my then business partner, Suzanne. And we had an event that was just magical. People's hearts were touched, deep transformation in the room. Financially, it was a huge success. And I remember on the last day, Suzanne and I sang we were both singers, and we sang the Gayatri Mantra before lunch. And something happened in the room where time kind of stood still. And we stopped singing the song, and there was such a sense of presence in the room that we just moved into like a 15-minute silent meditation with the whole audience spontaneously. And after that event, I'm like, I think I've done it. I think I'm the best in the world at the thing that I do. I think I'm the best in the world at that thing. And I expected the clouds to part and the birds to sing the next day, right? And instead, it was just a Monday. and that was a problem for me because I had been after this dream, right? This goal for decades. Consciously for at least a decade. And so I did some inner work, and I found this young boy inside of me that was hiding behind the couch, wondering where the hell my dad was. When I grew up, my mom had no support from family. Her mother died. Her father was an alcoholic. She had kids, and I think now we would check her for hormonal imbalance. Anyway, at times she would just fly off the handle into just fits of rage. And I was terrified. And my dad didn't know how to handle it. And he was building a second home for us, nights and weekends after work. So he's either at work or at the job site building this house, meaning he was never home. And so here's this big gaping abandonment wound that I discovered. And afterwards, I'm talking with my spiritual guidance, and I'm like, yo, gang, how is it possible that I have an entire body of work built on core wounds, and I'm just now seeing that I have this big gaping abandonment wound? Talk about the gerbil wheel, right? And the message I got back was, Jeffrey, this abandonment wound drove you to be the best in the world at what you do, with the unconscious belief that if you are the best in the world at what you do, that people will need you and never leave you, right? So it's the abandonment wound that drove your desire to be the best in the world at what you do. And they said, and you do need to be the best in the world at what you do to do your life's work. That actually is a requirement. So this wound had a holy purpose of installing your mastery. That was its holy purpose. Now that it served its holy purpose, it can come out of hiding. So you can go back towards it, clean out some of the gunk so it can heal properly. Right? And I say all wounds have an expiration date, and the expiration date comes when it served its purpose, when it served its holy role. And, you know, when I say I exalt the wound, I see the beauty of the wound. That's, there's something so elegant to that. And so, you know, I think there's a place where we go, yeah, we have to be like we're kind of stuck until we address the wound. I agree. And I also know that there's a time where somebody just needs to struggle a little longer because they're at the gym, they're building a muscle, and it's not quite in place necessarily yet. So I just trust that there is divine timing to it all. And when they're ready, they'll wake up, they'll become aware of it. The pain will become acute and they'll come knocking right on my door and your door and somebody else's door that can help. And we'll be there with open arms.
Excellent articulation. Thank you so much for that. How, Jeffrey, how can people learn more about you?
My website's an easy one, jeffreyvandyke.com. My last name does not have an E at the end, which is the common spelling. So it's JeffreyVandyke.com. You can find me on Facebook. The business page is facebook.com/JeffreyVandyke Official. And if you want to learn about tribal marketing and look at this way into really growing your business and establishing your authority in the market, you can go to tribalmarketing.biz. tribalmarketing.biz, and there's a video there and a whole way into that part of my world there as well.
Wonderful. Hey, thanks so much for being on the show. It's really been an honor to have you here today.
It's so fun. You and I, like, there's like, it's, for those of you that are listening, we've never met until this phone call, although we've known of each other. So it feels like we're old friends who haven't met, but we're meeting this way. It's just been the most fun new way to meet an old friend. Thank you.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. Many blessings.
Are you a conscious entrepreneur who has hit a financial ceiling in your business? Do you find yourself up in the middle of the night wondering where your next sale is going to come from? Do you struggle with working harder and harder yet not getting better results? Do you have a deep desire to take your business to the next level, but you aren't sure how to get there? If so, let's talk. I offer 30-minute complimentary consultations specifically designed to help diagnose what's keeping you from growing your business. To schedule your consultation, go to emmachurchman.com/consult Emma.